take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 64. Isaiah chapter number 64. Once you find Isaiah 64, please find verse number 1 right at the top of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 64, starting with verse number 1, and I'm going to read to us from verse 1 all the way through verse number 7. Let me tell you the name of the sermon this morning. It's called this, Grab Hold of God. Grab Hold of God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 1. Would you please stand with me? Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 1. The Bible says this, Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst tremble, things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. In verse number 7, notice it says, And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. The sermon today is called, Grab Hold of God. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. I pray that the interruptions today would be very, very minimal. Help us to lock in on the Scripture. Help us, Father, that we would submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Church is not a game. Preaching is not a game. It's life-changing. Somebody's life could be salvaged because of what is said today. Now, Holy Spirit of God, control what's said and done in this place, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. In Isaiah chapter number 64, God's people are in bad condition. Their hearts are very, very cold. Isaiah wishes that God would just break open the heavens and come down to where the people are to take care of it. Says in Isaiah 64:1, Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Their hearts are cold. If you listen to this, it says there, then in verse number 2, it says he kind of longs for a fire to come to melt the icy, cold hearts. He says in Isaiah 64:2, it says, As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the water to boil. In other words, you see, their hearts are cold. And Isaiah said, boy, we just would be great if God would come down because God's a God of fire and he could melt the cold hearts of the people. Even to the point where there's a boiling that takes place. But then, it's kind of amazing. In Isaiah 64:7, Isaiah makes this statement. He says, And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. So Isaiah said, part of the problem here is that people are not stirring themselves. And because they're not stirring themselves, they're not taking hold of God. Let me tell you all something. I believe, under the sound of my voice, are some people who are backslidden. You say, well, who are they? Oh, I don't know. You probably don't know. But I'm just sure somewhere in this sea of faces, there's somebody that's away from God. There's somebody, your heart is cold. There's somebody here, you're not what you ought to be for God. You're backslidden. You're not at your peak spiritual performance. Matter of fact, you're nowhere close to it. Now, I have to tell you something. I'll try to stir you, but you're going to have to stir you. You say, what do I need to stir myself to do? Some of you need to get back to God. You need to stir yourself to take hold of God and get yourself back to where you need to be. I'm going to tell you a story, and this came from the British broadcasting system. In 2005, a 12-year-old girl in Ethiopia was reportedly saved from a group of kidnappers by three lions. Seven men had abducted this girl. They were holding her captive for over a week. One was trying to force her to marry. The kidnappers had hidden the girl in the bush when the police began pursuing them. Now, they had beaten her and assaulted her repeatedly. But evidently, these three lions apparently ends up chasing off the men and guarded the girl until the police found her. Matter of fact, the men had hidden the 12-year-old girl in the bush, and the people there, the veterinarian type people, said one of the reasons why the lion took care of this girl is when she would cry. Her cry was a very immature cry, and it sounded like the cry of a lion cub. She said, the men started to come back after me after hiding me in the bush. I grabbed a hold of one of the lion's manes, and it drug me away from the men, and the other three lions just sat down in front of the girl, and the police found her. She grabbed hold of the lion, and the lion salvaged her. And Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And may I recommend to some people under the sound of my voice today that you grab hold of the hand of the lion and let him help you. You see, we are to stir ourselves. And Isaiah is saying, I wish that someone would stir themselves up or work themselves up enough to where they have the courage to reach up into heaven and take hold on God. And you need to take hold on God for your sake. And you need to take hold on God for somebody else's sake. And you need to take hold on God for the sake of God's people. I think churches across the country need Christians to take hold on God for the sake of our country. I think somebody here needs to take hold on God for the sake of your marriage, or take hold on God for the sake of your kids. Say, take hold on God. What does it mean? You grasp for Him. You put your hand in His hand. But not just that. You say, I reach up to God and I offer God my hand. If God reaches down His hand towards you, grab it. And then pull Him in. You say, what are you saying, preacher? You reach up to say, God, I need you. And when God reaches down, you pull Him in as tight as you can pull Him in. Because you need Him more than you realize you need Him. And the condition that you are in is a desperate condition. It's a drastic condition. Because if you're backslidden, if you're away from God, if your heart is cold, you're in more of a mess than what you realize. You say, I feel sorry for that 12-year-old girl and three adult men hurting and abusing and trying to hurt her. Let me tell you something. The devil is worse than those men, and he is messing with your life. See, take hold. Take hold. Take hold means to get truly close to Him. Take hold means to become familiar with God on a personal basis. Hey, draw nigh to God, the Bible says, and He will draw nigh to you. Take hold. It's almost means saying by force, I'm going to pull a blessing out of God. Take hold. It's a virtual demand of God's aid and help and strength. Do you know Jacob was praying in a place called Mahanaim?
And he said to an angel in verse number 32, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Jacob said, I need something. I'm gonna keep after that something, and I'm gonna just try to pull that thing out of God. Listen to Genesis chapter 32, verse number 26. And he said, the angel, here's what's happening. Jacob's wrestling with an angel. And this is what he said. He said, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. So here is Jacob wrestling with the angel of God, and the angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go till you bless me. You know what? I think Jacob took hold. Jacob said, I need something. I need that. I need something from God. I'm in a desperate situation. And he reached up and he grabbed him an angel. He started wrestling him, and the angel said, let me go. And he said, I am not letting you go. Bless me. You say, that's a little forward. God said here in the book of Isaiah, he said, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. God wants you to want him. God wants you to need him. Jacob actually wrestled that angel all night. God is blessing. To take hold of God is like a Elijah on the Mount Carmel. He opposed the false prophets of Baal. They tried to sacrifice their false god. They were trying to call some fire down from the sky, and it did not happen. Elijah had a sacrifice too, and he was in competition with these false prophets. They tried to call fire down from their god. It did not happen. Elijah actually poured water on his sacrifice. Now he's going to turn to his God. That's our God, Jehovah God. And he's going to ask that fire come from the sky to consume that sacrifice. Can I tell you something? I really do believe in that story. Elijah, he took hold on God. Listen to this passage of Scripture. 1 Kings 18, verse 36 and 37, it says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Can I explain what happened here? He cried out to God. He said, look, God, there's all sorts of people around here. The false God couldn't do it. I'm in trouble. I'm in standing in front of all these people. Now, God, I need fire to come down from the sky. I think Elijah reached up and God reached down. He said, okay, I got you, Elijah. And I think Elijah said, I need more than a handshake, God. I need fire from the sky. And you know what happened? The fire came. Because he took hold on God. Almost as if Elijah had reached into heaven and aimed God's flamethrower right at that sacrifice, and the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the water. It even consumed the dust around the sacrifice. There's another time Elijah took hold of God when he asked that it would not rain. And it didn't. Elijah went to God and said, God, you gotta keep it from raining. God said, okay. Then later on, he went back and Elijah said, God, you need to make it rain. And it did. What happened? As if Elijah had reached into heaven himself and turned off heaven's rain faucet and then turned it back on. What did he do? He believed there was a God in heaven. He had a need. He reached for that God. When God reached for him, he said, I'm going to pull you close. I need you. I need your help. And for some of you, you may not need fire from the sky. You may not need God to start or stop the rain, but you have a need, and it's a big need. And some of the need is the backslidden condition of your heart. And somebody here needs to stir yourself and say, I've got to get back to God. I promise you, you reach for him. He's reaching for you. Pull him in tight and get yourself right with God. Taking hold of God is the mighty Captain Joshua who needed to win a battle for the Lord. Do you know he needed more daylight to win a battle that he was fighting against the Amorites? You know what Joshua did? He had the audacity of reaching up toward God and he said, God, I'm fighting a battle for you. It's getting dark. To win the battle, I need you to stop the sun in the sky. Give me enough daylight. I'll knock the snot out of these guys. Then we can all go home. You know what happened? Joshua reached up. God reached down. And Joshua said, now that I got you, I'm going to pull you in. Do something. Do something big. Do something spectacular. Do what I cannot do. And in Joshua chapter 10, verse number 12 and 13, it says, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven. What happened? Somebody reached out for God. And God reached back. And then that somebody pulled him in and said, oh my, there's a closeness. There's an accomplishment. There's an achievement. I'm doing what I could not do by myself. Hey, take hold of God like Abraham did in an effort to save the righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. What a story. God said, I'm going to destroy that city for the sodomy. And Abraham said, would you just give me a chance? I'll try to win them. I'll tell you what, that's pretty bold of Abraham. He reached out for the sake of someone. God reached back. And God was patient. I think of how a widow in Luke chapter 18 was begging for vindication from an unjust judge. And the Bible says in Luke 18:5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You say, what that's about? This lady needed some help from a judge because of a particular situation. She went to the judge and said, help me. And the judge says, not now. And she went back to the judge and said, help me. And the judge said, not now. And the lady went back and said, help me. And the judge said, not now. And the lady went back and said, help me. And the judge finally said, okay, lady, I will help you to get you off my back. And let me tell you something. There are people in this room, you need to go to God and say, help me. And if God says not now, well, don't be afraid to go back and say, God, help me. And you say, but wonder if He doesn't give it to me. If it's something good, if it's something righteous, go back and say, God, help me. And one of these moments, God's going to say, you know what? I'm getting tired of you asking. I will avenge you. You reach for me, I'll reach for you. And then pull him in, and then the blessing is yours. It says, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. God is the great judge of the universe. Take hold on God. Take hold on God. Listen to this amazing verse in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 11. It says this, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I don't want us to be inappropriate, but I found these words. God said, command ye me. You know what He's saying? Want me with a strong desire. Almost as if you demand my presence. You demand my help. Now, I think there's a right and a wrong way of doing it. But I think there are just times when we've got to reach up to God and say, God, I can't. I can't do this without You. I need You. And you reach up for Him, and I'll promise you, His hand is not short or slack that it can't answer. When He reaches down and you say, you know what? I've got a connection with God. Go ahead and pull Him in and get close to Him and gather that strength that's available. God said, command ye me. Reach up into heaven, get my attention, tell me what you need, and do it with passion, and do it with faith, and do it with confidence. What would happen in our lives, in our ministries, if we would take hold on God? There are people of such minimal faith who actually have seen some wonderful movements of God. What would happen, folks, if we become maximum in our faith? What would happen if we truly wanted God working in our lives? Somebody here desperately needs to take hold on God. As if your life depended on it. As if your marriage depends on it. Because your ministry depends on it. Your future depends on it. I just call the sermon, grab hold of God. That little girl, 12, reached up, grabbed hold of the mane of the lion, and the lion drug her to safety. And again, our God, our Jesus, He's considered a lion. Somebody here needs to grab the mane of the lion and let Jesus help you to safety. You say, in regard to what, preacher? Okay. Take hold of God for the strength that you need. The strength that you need. Listen to Isaiah 27, verse number 5. It says, oh, let him take hold of my strength. Of my strength. That's God saying, take hold of me, and in it I will give you a strength. Reach into heaven and grab you some strength and pull it down to earth. Christian, you don't have to be weak. Christian, you don't have to be anemic. Christian, you don't have to be frail. Christian, you don't have to be feeble. Christian, you don't have to be limp. Christian, you don't have to be powerless. Why? The great God of the universe, He's the God of all power. He said, reach up to me and grab you some strength, pull it down to earth, and go do something with your life. Christian, you don't have to be weary. Christian, you don't have to be drained. Christian, you don't have to be spent. Hey, Christian, you don't have to be spiritually wore out. Did you know the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, let me tell you something. God is saying, if you'll reach up and you want some strength, pull that strength in, get close to me, and you can make it, and you can take it. You say, preacher, I'm wore out. Grab you some strength from heaven. You may be earthly wore out, but heaven's power company has plenty of energy that's made available to you and I. Some ask, how do you keep a heavy, super heavy schedule? Well, you stop depending on your own strength and you tap in to God's strength. There are times when I'm so weary, I don't think I can take another step. What do? You reach into heaven and you start borrowing strength from the all-powerful one. Hey, weary mom, you might need to take hold of God. You say, preacher, I'm wore out. And you say, I'm taking care of the kids and the housework and I work and I'm just so, so tired. There's some mom today, this is what you need to do. You need to reach up to God and say, God, please, I need strength. He'll reach down, grab your hand. I do want to recommend something. When He grabs hold, pull Him in tight. Pull Him in tight and say, I need strength as a mother. I need strength. Hey, Dad, supporting the family, paying the bills. Let me tell you something. You may need to reach up to God and grab hold and pull Him in tight so that you can get the strength that you need. Elijah on Mount Carmel came to the point where he had used all of his own energy, and he looked to heaven and he said, I have this sacrifice right here. God, I cannot call fire down from the sky on my own. I need you. And God sent the strength that Elijah needed to do what Elijah had to do. Do you know that Moses had been stuck with the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for years? God finally said, that's enough. It's time to go into the promised land. And Moses, you know what Moses said to God about going into the promised land? God, I'll go in the promised land, but you're going with me. And he said, God, if you're not going, I'm not going. You say, that's arrogant. I think God knew Moses' heart. Moses said, I want you, God. I can't do this without you, God. I'm going to tell you, moms, you struggle being a mom because you try to do it on your own when you're to do it with God's help. And dads, you struggle being a husband or you struggle being a dad because you try to do it on your own and you need God's help. Christian, those of you that have duties around the church and those of you that are trying to solve the problems of life, I'm going to tell you something. You will wear yourself out trying to physically do it. You have way too much confidence in your training and you have way too much confidence in your own personal character. You need to grab hold of God and say, God, I can't do this. And when He reaches out to you, you pull Him in tight and say, you know what, God, we can do this together. And Moses said, I'll go into the promised land, God, but under one condition. God said, what is it? You're going with me. You don't go, I don't go. Whole bunch of you took off without Him and said, I'll let you know if I need you. You needed Him from the get-go. You know what God said? God said, I'll send an angel in my place. That's what He told Moses. And you know what Moses said? No deal. I want the guy at the top of the totem pole. You know what? I think God said, yeah. You want me, don't you, Moses? Now, if you and I felt that way, that would be arrogant. It's not arrogance for God. God is everything. God is what it's all about. Boy, let me tell you, Moses reached into heaven, took hold of God and said, let's go into the promised land together. Take hold on God for the strength to fix what's broken, Christian. You say, I can't see how. God can. God can. Take hold of God for the strength to overcome that vice. Take hold of God for the strength to correct your relationship. Take hold of God for the strength to bear that burden. Take hold of God for the strength to build that business. Take hold of God for the strength to build that ministry. Take hold of God for the strength to pay off those bills. Somebody here needs to reach up to God and say, God, I need you. I've got to have you. I want you. I'm not going to do this without you. You get God's attention, God will say, you know what? I think this guy means business. And I'm not talking about being arrogant or inappropriate. You can approach him in great humility. I think the more you need him, the less you think of yourself, to be honest. Those of you that don't pray that are the arrogant ones. How do you think you can make it without praying? How do you think you can make it without reading your Bible and without church? You're arrogant. You're arrogant to think that you can do it without God. You need to fall on your face and cry holy. You need to fall on your face before your God and say, God, I need you. I can't do it without you. That'll get God's attention. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. You know what happened? I reach up. God reaches down. He pulls on me. I pull on him. You know what? We're going to get close. I love the verse in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 3, where it says, and the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not. You know what he said? Victory's ours. We're just not doing what we need to do to have the victory. You say, what is that? Get God in on it. Get God in on it. Whatever the amount of strength you need, He is able to provide it. He needs to know you want it. He needs to know you need it. He needs to know that you don't want to do it on your own. And listen, we are all to put forth our effort. Some lazy dog here, you're going to say, well, I'll just go home tomorrow and I'm going to do nothing but pray for the next 4 weeks about getting a job. You may have to get your lazy carcass out there and put in some resumes and things. But what I'm telling you is, you give what you can give and God will take care of the rest. And God's part's always bigger than your part. Reach into heaven, take hold of His strength. It's almost like we need to sneak our extension cord into heaven's generator, plug in. You say, man, that guy right there reminds me of the Energizer Bunny. He's probably plugged into something better than ever ready. He's probably plugged into heaven. Because that's where the great energy's from. Too many Christians live their life with their own energy source. Now, I think we're to use that energy source. But you want a supernatural energy source? Tap into God. Take hold on God. Let God take hold on you. Let me give you another thought. You need to take hold of the Word of God. Take hold of the Word of God. Isaiah 55:6, it says, to be His servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of My covenant. Taketh hold of My covenant. What's covenant? That's His Word. What's covenant? It's His promises. Grab hold of that book and don't let anything knock it out of your hands. Grab hold of that book. Don't let anything take its place. He talked about grabbing hold of My covenant. Folks, God's Word is still true today. It's never outdated. It has no expiration date. The other day, I went to our refrigerator and we had been on vacation a few weeks ago and we had some sweet tea. It had been around a while. I was as hot as I could be and I needed sweet tea. I didn't really think it would be necessary since nobody was there that I get a cup or a glass. We can chug from the jug. So I grabbed it. I was hot. I was ready. I started. And then I thought, oh, brother, I'm being punished for drinking from the jug. It was soured. It had expired. Now, let me tell you, you say, well, you shouldn't do that. She chugs from her milk jug. In a feminine way, of course. Boy, I ran over to the sink and I spit that tea out. I was mad at her. She, I shouldn't be in there. But can I tell you something? You're never going to chug from the Word of God and it be expired. You say, but in this day and age, truly in this day and age, we serve the everlasting one. He always has been. He always will be. He gave strength to Noah in Genesis. He'll give strength to you and I when we get all the way down the line. And we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Heaven will be lit up with the glory of His countenance. What is He? He is the Word of God. And you need to grab hold the Word of God to pull down the strength from God that you need to survive what you're facing. God's Word is still true. It never spoils. It never loses its potency. This book is the same book of the God who sent ravens to feed God's man when he was hungry in 1 Kings 17. This book is the same book that God used to feed 5,000 men with a little boy's lunch basket in John chapter 6. This book is the one who causes a blind man to see after he had been blind since birth in John chapter 9. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what you need to do? You need to limit your Facebook time and get your face back in God's book. We need to take hold on God's Word. It's a little bit, stop reading the Bible like it's a social media posting. And start reading it like an instruction manual for supernatural accomplishment. There are people in here, you spend more time on social media than you do your Bible. You're a mess. Get back in your Bible. Grab hold of God. You grab hold. You say, how do you do that? You grab a hold of the Word of God. We need to take hold of God's promises. We need to take hold of God's Word. Hey, you need it. You say, I need some peace in my life. Grab a hold of the Word of God. That'll bring peace in your life. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What's God saying? I can provide peace. But you grab hold of the Word of God, and it is the ingredient you need in your emotional stability. Take hold of God's Word for the security in regard to your salvation. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know what that teaches? Once you get saved, you're always saved. You can know you're saved. You say, how do I get that strength? How do I get that stability? From the Word of God. Take hold of the Word of God for your needs in life. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I reach in to heaven, grab a hold of God's hand by use of the Word of God. I get the strength. I get the confidence. I get what I need to make it. God will deliver you according to Psalm 32, verse number 7. God will help you with the forgiveness that needs to be practiced in your life. And I'm not talking about toward you. I'm talking about you toward others. Somebody in here needs to forgive. See, but I'm not sure I have the strength. I'm not sure I know how to forgive them for hurting me. What you do is say, God, I can't do this on my own. And God said, you reach toward me. I'll reach toward you. We'll seal the deal with the Word of God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Listen, God wants to give you strength. Too many people, though, turn to God's Word as a last resort. I recommend that you turn to Him first instead of last. Hey, take hold of God's Word in regard to your sin. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah said, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold on thee. I think we need to take hold on God for strength. I think we need to take hold on God's Word to help develop that strength. And I'm done, but let me tell you this. If you're here today and you're not born again, could I recommend that you just decide that you're going to take hold of the salvation that's available to you? This has nothing to do with work salvation. Look right at me. Here's what somebody needs to do. You, by faith, need to reach out and accept
God's plan of salvation. Decide, I will let Jesus save me. Decide, I don't want to go to hell. Decide that you're unprepared. I'm going to make you a promise. You turn toward God. You turn toward Jesus as Savior. He's going to turn toward you. You get saved by placing your faith in Him, but you have to choose to place that faith in Him. He makes nobody do it. Where you invest your faith is your call. But the moment you invest your faith in Him, you've got a solid deal. You're saved and for all eternity. Salvation comes from above. I say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. He says, I'll do it. That will get you to heaven. I call the sermon, Grab Hold of God. I don't know who, I don't know why, but somebody in this building desperately needs to reach for heaven and let God reach for you. And then you need to pull Him in a little extra and say, help me. Help me. Don't be afraid to say, I can't do this without you. He'll give you what you need.